Habibi Kuda Katlambia Ba Azbulan Salawat. Masali Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani al-la'in ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi alladhi la yablughu midhatahu al-qailun. ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا واللعنة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ويقول الذين كفروا لست مرسلا قل كفى بالله شهيدا بيني وبينكم ومن عنده علم الكتاب. This is the first speech. This is the fourth speech in this series in the memory of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. And all that separates us from the other Muslims is the issue of adhering to Ali as the first successor of the Prophet. And the discussions about issues related to that position starts with the issue of imamat and vilayat and special status of Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. Once that is established, the belief about other imams comes in line automatically. One such issue is ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen, the extraordinary knowledge, which we have been discussing in the last few nights. Based on the Quran, we see that ilm al-ghayb can be divided into two categories. One is what is known as independent and original, and the other we can say that the ilm al-ghayb, which is based on God's gift. When we look at the first one, it is Allah's property, and it is at His discretion whether or not He shares it with His chosen servants. And that is a fundamental belief of all Muslims. Then we have the second basis of ilm al-ghayb, where we say that it is Allah's gift. Whenever, wherever and whomever and how much he wants to give, it is his discretion. Look at Musa alayhi salam, look at Khidr alayhi salam. Both of them had ilm al-ghayb, but Khidr had something more than what Musa had. So it's not only the issue of who and where, and even the issue of the extent of access to ilm al-ghayb depends in the with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is where we have to realize that then you come to this a third possibility, a belief that a prophet or an imam knows ilm al-ghayb independently of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is absolutely wrong, and this is what has been rejected in the Quran and the ahadith and the and by the Shia ulama. And this is what is known as ghulu. And so this is where we have to realize that when we talk about ilm al-ghayb as the independent and original entity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His property, there is no problem at all. When we believe in the ilm al-ghayb that the imam or the prophet or an angel would have as a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, there shouldn't be any problem at all. You're still maintaining that divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dependency of the angel and the prophet and the imam upon Allah's discretion. It is the third view here in the middle, which basically is wrong, and that is ghulu, and that is what is known as extreme view. wherever you see the issue of the denial of ilmul ghayb about a prophet or an imam, it refers to the first category where somebody would say they know ilmul ghayb independently. Otherwise, there is no difficulty in believing in ilmul ghayb of the second category as the favl and the grace and gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat parane ek bara. Let me talk tonight about this stand of Shaykh al-Mufid, a prominent Shia alim of the early Ghaybati Sughra era, on this issue of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt and the Ilmul Ghayb. The distinction made between Ilmul Ghayb, Ilmul Ghayb bil Isala wa bil Dhat, originally and independently, versus Ilmul Ghayb bi Ta'aleem min Allah. You know, ilm al-ghayb taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah's gift. This distinction is very important when studying the Quran and when you study the ahadith as well as the writing of the ulama. After the first speech that I made on this issue, I was sent a forward from somebody who said that even Shaykh Mufid rejects the ilm al-ghayb for the imams. And he gave, you know, a quotation was made from one of the rasail of Shaykh Mufid. I would say that indeed it is good to know that people have interest to go and study these issues, even in the classical works. But I would humbly urge them that before attributing a belief to people like Shaykh Mufid, make sure that you read his entire statement on that issue. And that also in his various books, not only one risala. Did Shaykh Mufid categorically reject the ilmul ghayb for the imams? Or did he just reject the belief that ilmul ghayb, independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be rejected? Shaykh al-Mufid has an important book known as Awa'il al-Maqalat, where he talks about different views of different groups within the world of Islam. And there he says something in al-a'imma min ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad kanu ya'rifuna dhama'ir ba'd al-ibad, that verily the imams from the Prophet's family surely knew the inner thoughts of some people, zamir, wa ya'rifuna ma yakun qabla kawnihi, and they knew what would happen before it occurred. These are the words of Shaykh Mufid himself in Awa'il al-Maqalat. But then he makes a very important point. He says this issue of the imams who are having ilm al-ghayb, this is not a necessary part of their qualities, nor it is a requirement for them to be imams. وَإِنَّمَا أَكْرَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَ بِهِ وَعَلَمَهُمْ إِيَّاهُ. Rather, it was only because God honored them and gave them that knowledge. For what? As a help to the people for obeying them and accepting their imamat. He continues that according to him, this belief in ilmul ghayb, this is his view, is not based on rational necessity. It is not an aqli issue. Rather, it is based on sama', or it is based on religious proofs, referring to the Quran and the Ahadith. Then he goes on to the next step, where he says, however, asserting the statement about them that they absolutely or independently knew the ghayb, this is an obvious error. And this is what we even showed on the slide. No one deserves that qualification except him who knows things by himself, not by a knowledge bestowed upon him, and that is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he concludes by saying, all imamiyya, those who believe in this theory of imamat, agree with this thesis of mine, except a few partisans of delegation, mufawwada, and those of the exaggerator, known as ghulat, who believe in ghuluv, who are related to the mufawwada. And so, see how carefully Shaykh Mufid draws the distinction between men stream Shia Imamiya view versus the Ghulat and the Mufawwidha. Salawat padhne ek bar. Sheikh Mufid also has a popular book which he wrote about the lives of the Imams, known as Kitab al-Irshad, which was actually published in early 80s or late 70s, actually, from London, translated by Dr. Howard. And this Kitab al-Irshad is available even online. You can go and search and read that. And in the section of Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he talks about his qualities, his knowledge, and his miracles, he actually talks about this issue. There is a section where he says, وَمِنْ ذَٰلِكَ مَسْتَفَاضَ عَنْهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنْ إِخْبَارِهِ بِالْغَائِبَاتِ وَالْكَائِنْ قَبْلَ كَوْنُهُ. You know, he talks about the prophecies and the inner knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he says, and of these are the widespread reports of Ali alayhi salam concerning the unknown, بِالْغَائِبَاتِ, غَيْب, plural of غَيْب, and foretelling things which will happen before they happen. وَالَّذِي كَانَ مِنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنْ هَذَا الْجِنْسِ. And the evidence for this kind of miracles by Amir al-Mu'mineen, مَا لَا يُسْتَطَاعُ إِنْكَارُهُ, is such that it cannot be denied except مَعَ الْغِبَاوَ وَالْجَهَلْ وَالْبُهُتْ وَالْعِنَادِ. Nobody can deny that regarding Ali except through stupidity, ignorance, slander, and obstinacy. This is the translation of Dr. Howard, not mine. And so we have to realize that, you know, Sheikh Mufid is very clear about this issue of Amir al-Mu'mineen having ilm al-ghayb as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not independently. This reminds me of the ayat from Surah Nisa, ayat number 54. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ يَحْسَدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Do they envy the people for what Allah has given them of His grace? If Allah has given the fazilat to Ali Muhammad, what is the problem? Why be envious and jealous of them? And then the ayat goes on, فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. Indeed, we have given to Ibrahim's children the book and the wisdom, and we have given them a great kingdom. Here, Ali Ibrahim is Ali Ismail as well as Ali Ishaq. Ali and Ali, Ali, the Imams from Ali, they are all part of this Ali Ibrahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have given the book and the wisdom to Ali Ibrahim, which includes Ali and Ali Ali. So why be, you know, jealous there and deny that fazilat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them? Salawat parne ek bar. So let me go tonight again, since we are talking about Sheikh Mufid, one more narration from Kitab al-Irshad regarding the before the battle of Jamal, when Ali was going towards Jamal. He stopped in a place called Ziqar. And there he mentioned something to his companions, including Abdullah bin Abbas, who was sitting there with him. And he says, سَيَأْتِيكُمْ مِنْ قِبَلِ الْكُوفَةِ أَلْفَ رَجُلٍ. 1,000 men will come from the direction of Kufa. لَا يَزِيدُونَ رَجُلًا وَلَا يَنْقِصُونَ رَجُلًا. It will be exactly, precisely 1,000 people, men, no more, no less, يُبَايِعُونِي عَلَى الْمَوْتِ, and they will come to pledge their allegiance to me until death. Abdullah bin Abbas, when he heard it, you know, just like the story of Jundam bin Abdullah that I mentioned earlier, when Abdullah bin Abbas heard these words from Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, specifying the numbers, 1,000 men will come to pledge allegiance, no more, no less, he went kind into anxiety. And he was afraid for the sake of the Shias of Ali. that if the number was less or more, then this will become something against us. And so he says that when I heard this number, I was troubled. And so I started monitoring the people who were coming and the group which came from Kufa. I started counting them. And when I counted them, their number reached to 999, one number less than what Ali had predicted. And then after that, the people stopped coming. Abdullah bin Abbas says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun." Why did he have to specify the number? While he was still thinking about this, he saw a person coming from far away towards them, wearing a woolen cloak, and had a sword and a shield with him. He goes to Amir al-Mu'minin and he says, "Stretch out your hand so that I may pledge allegiance to you." And Ali said, "What condition would you make the pledge of allegiance?" He says, "I make pledge of allegiance to you, to hear you, to obey you, to fight for you until I die or Allah grants you victory." And so Ali said, What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Uwais." And Ali said, "Oh, so you are Uwais al-Qarani." And this is where Abdullah bin Abbas says, "By Allah, my anxiety left me." Salawat padhne ek baar. So do your study. Don't go through anxiety. You know, and do not deny the fadilat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Ali. Let me now talk about one more issue, an ayat which I've been reciting after the khutbah every night. And that answers the question, does the Quran affirm this for Ali or not? I will only refer to that one ayat. During the early days in Mecca, when the idol worshippers were rejecting the claim of the Prophet that he is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, when he was rejected again and again with many, many people, of course, it hurt Rasulullah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to boost his morale and console him. So he revealed this ayat from Surah Ra'd, Surah number 13, the last ayat, ayat 43, where he says, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا O Muhammad, those who disbelieve, they say you are not a messenger. Don't worry about it. قُلْ Say to them, كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ Allah is sufficient as a witness between me and you that I am the messenger of Allah. Not only Allah is sufficient, and وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ and the person who has knowledge of the book. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consoling the Prophet by saying it doesn't matter what these idolaters of Mecca say to you that they don't believe in you. When it comes to your risalat, it is sufficient that you have two witnesses for your claim. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other is the person who has ilmul kitab, the knowledge of the book. Whom is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to as the witness to the truth of the Prophet's claim? Who is this person who has the knowledge of the book? According to Shia reports and narrations, supported by many Sunni sources, you can go to my book, Shiaism, Imamat and Vilayat, the last chapter is on actually Ilmul Ghaib, and there I have the references even of Sunni sources, that this refers to none other than Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. Salawat padhne ek baar. Of course, there have been attempts, you know, by the other party to try to divert this honor to someone else than Ali. And to look at the critical view of those counter reports, you just go to the tafsir of Allama Tabatabai, Al-Mizan, volume 11 in Arabic, and you will see the criticism he has of those so-called concocted, you know, narrations. And he says this refers to Ali bin Abi Talib and no one else. What is important is that nobody from the companions of the Prophet ever claimed to have that knowledge. It is only Ali bin Abi Talib, when it comes to ilm, that he claims, "I have the knowledge of the book." And the impact of this testimony from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ra'd is very far-reaching. And we don't want to even go into this issue of vilayat. Vilayat-e takwin especially. You have heard the story of Prophet Sulaiman and his wazir Asif Barkhiya, who was his successor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Asif Barkhiya with some extra power over the nature. And he is the one, according to the story of the Quran, which Quran doesn't mention the name, but we know that's Asif Barkhiya, that he actually was able to bring the throne of the Queen of Sheba from southern Arabia all the way to Jerusalem before twinkling of an eye. The source of the power of Asif Barkhiya was what? It was this extraordinary knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the story and says, when he talks about Asif Barkhiya, he says, he had ilmun min al-kitab. The word min is very important. That he had knowledge of a portion of the book. In comparison to Asif Barkhiya, look at this ayat from Surah Ra'd. Regarding Ali ibn Abi Talib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ not عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. This is referring to the person who has the knowledge of the book, not only a portion of the book. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about the position of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, and this special status that Allah has given, the gift of the knowledge that he has given to him. You know, Muslims don't have any problem in believing. The statement of Rasulullah where he says, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلِيٌ بَابُهَا that I am the city of the knowledge and Ali is the gate to that city. Look at the issues, the way he would actually respond to the questions. Many times, even during the days of the Khulafa, they would have judiciary matters and they would make judgments which were wrong. Sometimes they would condemn somebody to death wrongfully. And when Ali would be told, he said, stop that. And then he will come. There are many times he actually would come and say, this is wrong. And the companion will say, but what is the basis of your opinion here? And they would be amazed when Amir al-Mu'minin will recite two verses from the Qur'an, from two different surahs. When he puts together, he gets the conclusion which would support his decision. And so the point is that yes, the Ummah had the Qur'an. There were so many thousands of people who had memorized the Qur'an. They were hafiz of Qur'an. But to have the insight of the Qur'an is something else. To have that ilmul kitab is something else. And in all those cases, especially when it comes to the second Khalifa, Marhum Allama Najmuddin al-Askari had gathered all these different reports of judiciary matters where Amir al-Mu'minin corrected the decisions of the second Khalifa. And totally it comes to more than 100 cases. And this is where Amir al-Mu'minin, by his action of guiding them on the basis of knowledge, was reminding them that you can say, حَسْبُنَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, that the book of Allah is sufficient for you, but you cannot use it sufficiently until you have the insight from somebody who has عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, and that is none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. Salawat parne ek bar. Hadith Saqalain. Muslims are unanimous on this issue. They might have, issues of how to interpret the events of Ghadir and everything, the word Mawla. But this statement, إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمُ السَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَتِي أَهْلُ بَيْتِي, this is accepted. And when you talk about the issue of Kitabullah and Itrati, Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, Ali is the head of that Ahlul Bayt. He is the chief there. You need both of them. And this is where we have to realize that this belief in Ilm al-Ghayb of the Imams as a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ghuluv. This is not tafweedh. This is not exaggeration. This is the mainstream Shia Imamiyya belief that we have. Remember, my brothers and sisters, Ali was mazloom and oppressed in his lifetime when he was denied his position of Khilafat. And he was also mazloom, and he is also mazloom after his Shahadat. They denied his fada'il when he was alive. They denied his virtues and his qualities when he was alive. And they actively went around denying the fada'il of Ali after his Shahadat, especially during the era of Banu Umayyah. There was a very organized attempt by Banu Umayyah to prohibit the people from mentioning the ahadith of Rasulullah about Ali. And they would say you should not mention those unless you also bring something equal to that, or actually even fabricate things regarding others. And so, you know, let us not unknowingly go into that path where we end up degrading the status of Ahlul Bayt, especially the status of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. There is a whole section in history, early history of Islam, about this issue of as-satr wal-kitman. You know, the issue of hiding and concealing the fada'il of Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam in all different ways. And so Ali was mazloom when he was alive. Ali was mazloom even after his shahadat. One of the groups out of ignorance who became bitter enemies of Ali were the Khawarij. And they ended up having this hatred, highest level of hatred towards Ali. And that level of hatred has prompted our fuqaha to consider them to be kafir. And this is something you have to always think about it when we talk about the Khawarij, those who have this hatred towards Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. They were the one who started using this term for Ali and the supporters of Ali. Zadaran Hussain, aaj ka din jo hai shahadat ka din tha. اور ہم علی کے یاد میں جمع ہوئے ہیں. علم غیب کے سلسلے میں کچھ باتیں ہم نے آپ کے سامنے پیش کی ہیں. امید ہے کہ آپ ان باتوں پر غور کریں گے. یہ کوئی غلو کی بات نہیں ہے, بلکہ ہمارا عقیدہ, شیعہ عقیدہ یہی ہے کہ وہ علم جو علی اور آل علی کو دیا گیا ہے, وہ علم جو رسول کے پاس تھا, یہ خداوند عالم کی موہبت ہے, یہ خداوند عالم کا لطف ہے ان لوگوں پر. ورنہ اصل صاحب علم غیب صرف خداوند عالم کی ذات ہے. دوسرے جن کے پاس بھی علم غیب ہے, یہ خدا کا عطیہ ہے, اور اس عقیدے میں کوئی خرابی نہیں ہے. لیکن وہ جو بغض علی رکھتے ہیں, وہ ان کے فضائل کو بھی کم کرنے کی کوشش کرتے ہیں. خوارج اس لیول پہ پہنچے تھے کہ خطرہ تھا امیر المومنین کی شہادت کے بعد کہ اگر انہیں علم ہو جائے کہ علی کہاں دفن کیے گئے ہیں, تو وہ نعوذ باللہ جا کے قبر کو بھی کھو دیں گے اور علی کے جسد مقدس کی بے حرمتی کریں گے. اس سے زیادہ مظلومیت علی کی کیا ہو سکتی ہے؟ کوفہ کوئی چھوٹا گاؤں نہیں تھا, بڑا شہر تھا, ہزاروں کی تعداد میں لوگ تھے. شیعہ بھی تھے, ماننے والے بھی تھے علی کے بہت سے, لیکن جنازہ علی کا کس حالت میں اٹھا ہے؟ خوارج کی اس خطرے کی وجہ سے امام حسن علیہ السلام نے حکم دیا تھا کہ 3 تابوت بنائے جائیں اور رات ہی کے وقت 3 الگ الگ ڈائریکشنز میں بھیجے گئے ہیں تاکہ دشمن ہمیشہ کنفیوز رہے، اسے معلوم نہ ہو سکے کہ علی کو کہاں بھیجا گیا ہے دفن کرنے کے لیے. قبر بھی بنائے وہاں قبرستان میں 3 سے 4. امام حسن علیہ السلام کو تسلی کے لیے صرف اتنا کہیں گے کہ آپ کے بابا کو بھی بقیع میں قبروں کا نشان بنانا پڑا تھا تاکہ فاطمہ کی قبر کی حرمت محفوظ رہ سکے. اے حسن، آپ کو بھی یہی کرنا پڑا اپنے بابا کی قبر کی حرمت کے سلسلے میں. علی کی وصیت کے مطابق فرماتے ہیں کہ میری قبر جو ہے بن چکی ہے، ڈائریکشن کو بھی معلوم کرنے کی ضرورت نہیں ہے، اور یہ علم غیب اور معجزے کی بات ہے. فرماتے ہیں کہ بس جب میرا تابوت تیار ہو جائے، آگے کی طرف سے کوئی اٹھنا نہ اٹھائے، دوسری طرف سے تم ہاتھ لگا کے اٹھانا تو خود بخود جو ہے سامنے سے اٹھانے والے ہوں گے ملک، اور جس طرف وہ جائیں تم جانا، وہاں ایک قبر ملے گی مجھے، اس میں دفن کر دینا. یہ وہی جگہ ہے جسے ہم آج کل نجف کہتے ہیں. امیر المومنین کے اس حکم کے مطابق بس گھر والے اور کچھ وفادار صحابی جن پر بھروسہ کرتے تھے اہل بیت، وہ ساتھ ساتھ جاتے ہیں. اسی بے بسی کے ساتھ علی کا جنازہ اٹھتا ہے. وہ امیر المومنین ہے، وہ خلیفۃ المسلمین ہے، وہ مسلمانوں کا بادشاہ ہے، لیکن جنازہ تاریکی شب میں اٹھتا ہے، ایک لحاظ سے تنہائی میں اٹھتا ہے، بس کم لوگ وہاں تھے. امیر المومنین جب وہاں پہنچتے ہیں قبر میں دفن کرنے کے بعد، جب قبر کو دفن کر دیا گیا، اس وقت جو صحابی وفادار تھے ان میں سے ایک تھے جن کا نام تھا سعسہ بن سوحان، جو ایک زبردست خطیب بھی تھے، یہ قبر کے قریب آتے ہیں، کھڑے ہوتے ہیں قبر میں، ایک ہاتھ سے جو ہے مٹی اٹھاتے ہیں اس قبر کی، دوسرا ہاتھ سینے پر رکھتے ہیں اور وہ مٹی کو سر کے اوپر ڈالتے ہیں، اور اس کے بعد ایک لحاظ سے ایک تقریر کی ہے علی کی تسلی، گھر والوں کی تسلی کے لیے فرماتے ہیں بی ابی انت و امی یا امیر المومنین حنیا لک یا ابا الحسن، اے علی آپ کو مبارک ہو، شہادت مبارک ہو، طاب مولدک، جہاں پیدا ہوئے تھے وہ ایک بہت ہی پاکیزہ جگہ تھی، وقوا صبرک، آپ کا صبر بھی بہت ہی عظیم تھا، جہاد بھی بہت ہی عظیم تھی، آپ کی رائے ہمیشہ دوسروں پر حاوی رہی ہے، اور جو معاملہ آپ نے اللہ سے کیا ہے اس میں کامیاب رہے. اشارہ تھا فستو رب الکعبہ کی طرف. اس کے بعد کہتے ہیں خدا سے ہم دعا کرتے ہیں کہ ہمیں آپ کی سیرت پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرمائے. دعا ہے خداوندہ آپ کے چاہنے والوں سے محبت کریں، آپ کے دشمنوں سے دشمنی کریں، اور ہمیں آپ کے ساتھ محشور کیا جائے. اور اس کے بعد فرماتے ہیں فعلیک منی افضل الصلاۃ والسلام، آپ پر بہت ہی عظیم اور بہترین سلام ہماری طرف سے، اس لیے کہ اشتد ظہر المؤمنین بک، آپ سے مومنین کی کمر میں جو ہے طاقت آ گئی، اور آپ کی وجہ سے یہ صراط مستقیم کی نشانیاں واضح ہو گئی، آپ کی وجہ سے سنت نبوی قائم ہوئی. اور اس کے بعد ایک جملہ کہتے ہیں، فرماتے ہیں کہ اس کے بعد اتنا رونے کے بعد ایک جملہ کہتے ہیں کہ خداوندہ ہمیں علی کے اس مصائب کا جو اجر ہے اس سے میں محروم مت کرنا. فرماتے ہیں علی جب تک آپ زندہ تھے خیر کی چابیاں موجود تھی اور شر کے دروازے بند ہو چکے تھے، لیکن آنکھ پہ آنکھ بند ہونے کے بعد اب جو ہے شر کی چابیاں کھل جائیں گی اور خیر کے دروازے بند کر دیے جائیں گے.
उसके बाद जनाब सास बिन सोहान बहुत रोते हैं, दूसरों को भी रुलाते हैं, घर वालों को, और आखिर में जाते हैं इमाम हसन को परसा देते हैं, हुसैन को परसा देते हैं, मोहम्मद हनफिया को परसा देते हैं, जाफर तैयार को परसा देते हैं, अब्बास को परसा देते हैं, यहिया और आन को परसा देते हैं, अब्दुल्ला को परसा देते हैं, और उसके बाद घर वालों ने भी असर हुसैन को पुरसा दिया। अजादारान हुसैन, रिवायात में इमाम ज़ैनुल आबिदीन का नाम तो नहीं लिखा है, लेकिन बस हम इतना कहेंगे अगर ज़ैनुल आबिदीन कमसिनी के वजह से साथ नहीं ले जाए गए थे, यकीनन उन्होंने सुना होगा सासा ने मरसिया पड़ा है कब्र पर इमाम के और पुरसा दिया है असर हुसैन को, यकीनन सैयद सज्जाद को ये बात उस वक्त याद आई होगी जब ये काफिला करबला से रवाना हुआ, और जब इमाम की नजर जाती है बाबा के लाशे की तरफ, उस वक्त याद किया होगा बाबा आपने अपने बाबा को दफन किया था, वहां पर मरसिया पढ़ने वाले भी थे, लेकिन ये अजीब कर और अजियत की कैफियत इमाम सज्जाद के चेहरे पर नुमाया थी। जनाब ज़ैनब कहती है बेटा इतना गम न करो कि तेरी रूह जो है जिस्म से जुदा हो जाए। जब इमाम सज्जाद ने कहा ये क्यों न करे, इसलिए कि हम जवान और जिंदा है, लेकिन बाबा का लाशा बेगौर कफन छोड़ के जा रहे हैं। उस वक्त ज़ैनब ने तसल्ली दी है जिस तरह से सासा ने हसन हुसैन को तसल्ली दी, ज़ैनब वो फरीजा अदा करती है, कहते हैं ज़ैनुल आबिदीन इतना गम न करो, मैंने तेरे दादा से सुना है तेरे बाबा की कब्र बनेगी, यहां मजार बनेगा, लोग बड़ी तादाद में तेरे बाबा की जियारत के लिए आएंगे। अलानतुल्लाह अला القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون। खुदा बंदे इस करीले बात कबूल फरमा, हमारे गुनाहों को बख्श दे, हमारी तौफीकात में इजाफा फरमा। खुदावंदा उस अली का वास्ता, अली के मज़लूमियत का वास्ता, खुदावंदा हम लोगों को वो इल्म और हिकमत दे कि जो सही सिरात मुस्तकीम का रास्ता है उसे पहचान भी सकें, समझ भी सकें, और उस पर कायम और दायम रहें। खुदावंदा हमें गुलू और तकसीर दोनों के इफरात और तफरीत से महफूज रख। खुदावंदा हमारे कम्यूनिटी के अफराद, खुसूसन जो जवान जो इल्म दोस्त हैं और जो मुतालात करते हैं, खुदावंदा उन्हें हिकमत और विजडम दे ताकि वो मामलात को सही मानों में समझ सकें, खुसूसन जब इस्लाम रसूल और मोहम्मद आल मोहम्मद की बात आती है। खुदावंदा उसी अली मज़लूम का वास्ता जिस मुसीबत से पूरी इंसानी बिरादरी गिरफ्तार है, खुदावंदा कोरोना वायरस के इस मनफी असरात से सबको महफूज रख, खुसूसन वो मोमिनीन जो गिरफ़्तार हो चुके हैं इस बीमारी में, उनको शफाए कामिला और आजला इनायत फरमा। खुदावंदा शियों को अपने हिफ्ज़ अमान में रख, इमाम के ज़ुहूर में ताजिल फरमा। रब्बना आतिना फ़िद दुनिया हसनतन व फ़िल आख़िरति हसना वक़िना अज़ाबन्नार बिरहमतिका या अरहमर राहिमीन।